I'm here today with Heather Reeves of Heather Reeves Yoga. Heather is here for a human design hot seat business coaching session. And among other things, she's looking to niche her business down a little bit, which is really hard for a manifesting generator. Heather is a 3-5 emotional manifesting generator with 8 centers defined in her design. I will link her chart in the show notes for you so that you can take a look if you would like to. She offers massage therapy and yoga and meditation and retreats and myofascial release. And she's looking to add coaching and online courses and programs to her business without burning herself out. So in this episode, we talk a lot about getting in touch with her sacral response, really learning how to ride out her emotional authority and what that feels like in her body, and how to apply these things to her business specifically. If you'd love to schedule your own human design hot seat coaching session, they're 100% free. They are about half hour to 45 minutes long, and we dive into your human design and your business to see if we can get you some targeted support to move you forward. The link is in the show notes to book yours.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Welcome. Today we are here with Heather Reeves, and Heather has Heather Reeves Yoga, I believe it's called, on Instagram, and she does all kinds of healing modalities that we're going to talk about today. Heather's interested, this is a hot seat, a human design hot seat for the Unjaded podcast, and Heather's interested in maybe changing directions in her business, but she's not quite sure yet. So we are going to be talking about all of the things in her beautiful human design. Heather is a 3-5 emotional manifesting generator. And if you've been around the podcast for a little while, you know that 3-5s are my favorite people on the planet. I have a son who is a 3-5 and a granddaughter who is a 3-5. And it's so interesting to me. My granddaughter is a 3-5 emotional manifesting generator, a 3420 Manny Gen. And it's interesting to me to see how an unconditioned child shows up in the world as a 3-5 compared with how an adult as a 3-5 shows up in the world. It is so crazy to see the difference. We always say, and I got this from one of my podcast guests, that 3-5s are just a little bit unhinged. That's how you're meant to be, is a little bit unhinged. And I feel like Manny Gens were unhinged as well. So you've got it coming at you from a lot of directions, Heather. So we are going to dive into the episode today with you introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I'm Heather Reeves, and I have been a massage therapist for 30 years, and I have sold my practice, and I'm still working within the practice, treating people 2 days a week. But I'm also very passionate about yoga, about meditation, and about myofascial release, and helping women, especially women, and women my age, 50 plus, finding ease in their physical body, but also in their minds. And that's been my niche. And it's just very much transitioning into that completely and letting go of fear of trying on this new mind-body mentor and speaking my truth, but also messaging to people in how I can help people. A lot of people come to me, obviously, as our bodies change hormonally, we're experiencing more pain, more discomfort. And I feel like there's so many things that I love, and it's just kind of finding a structure, creating a structure or a place that I can work from, that I can sort of use each of those tools or all of those tools that I love. And I love incorporating crystals and essential oils into all of that.
You're so my people. So what would be a home run for you today? What would you love to get out of this quick little session that we're having today?
I think focusing direction, I feel like I get onto something and then I lose my momentum. And I think keeping that momentum, or for sure keeping that momentum and keeping my eye on the goal, not giving up and saying, oh, no, and then going, thinking I need to try something new or looking outside of myself maybe is the answer, and listening more to me. My perfect business would look like working from home And having the opportunity to travel and facilitate retreat days, facilitating week-long retreats, weekend retreats, but not being in one place. I love to travel and I love to meet new people and I love having new experiences and being in one office space and just massage after massage. It's very much burnt me out.
So, that is so much your design that you need to have variability in your environment. Like your environment needs to constantly be changing in order for you to feel good and do your best work, partly as a manifesting generator, partly as your, it's called variable in human design. It's an environment variable. It shows you where you best function in life. And for you, it's all about changing up your environment. So you're not someone like I would look at your design and say, oh my gosh, like she can't be in the same place at the same time and have the same picture on the wall. And like, you just can't. So, but as a Mani Gen as well, I'm curious if you feel like you're connected to or using your ability to respond. Do you know what response feels like in your body?
I think I know what it feels like when something's very wrong. And maybe not so much when something's good. I think maybe I've tuned that out, or I feel like life's been, I've got to do this. It's been a to-do list, not, oh, this inspires me. So yeah, I think those really like, no, but being responsive, probably in a more positive, I think I've kind of muted that. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, definitely. It makes a lot of sense. Been there. Okay, so I think where we're going to go with this today is we're going to talk a lot about your sacral response as a manifesting generator and a lot about your emotional solar plexus, because you and I had a conversation before this about a course you're taking. We'll bring that in as well. The other thing that I would love to visit with you, and I will have Heather's chart without her birth information linked in the show notes for you so that you can go and look at this chart that I'm looking at as well. You have 8 centers of 9 centers defined in your human design. So you're pretty solid. We say that openness in human design is where we're most susceptible to conditioning, but that doesn't mean it's the only place we're conditioned. We're very conditioned in our defined centers as well sometimes. But your openness is basically where you are breathing in life. So you're more susceptible to the energies of others in that openness. And in your definition, it's like you can stand solidly in who you are. And you have a lot of definition in your design. You have a fair number of channels defined, which are a mix of tribal and individual and collective circuitry, which is interesting. But the tribal and the individual kind of win out. It's kind of a conundrum in your design because you're all about, I have to do it my way. I have a really different way of looking at things. I need to be in service of others, but it has to be done my way. And then there's this tribal energy that's kind of, but I need to help my people. I need to help my people. I need to help my people. I need to be there for them. So the openness, though, where it comes in for you is that your root center is undefined. So the root center is all about pressure, pressure, pressure. So this undefined root of yours is putting pressure on your entire design. And when you say, you know, that something outside of yourself and you feel like you just have to do this and have to do this and have to do this, that's very much the undefined root. It's a lot of adrenalized pressure. And you have tons of tools for dealing with adrenaline pressure and for helping to support your adrenals with your crystals and your yoga, and all of those things are perfect for adrenal health. But it's this relentlessness. Also in this center, you have gate 60 defined, which is a gate that longs for change and innovation. It wants to change something and it always feels limited. It's like, that's the kind of the shadow of it, is this limitation that's holding you back. So you kind of feel this stuckness where this one open center that gives you a little bit of movement in your design is like pushing you to do and do and do and do and do and putting so much pressure on you to change something, but you don't know what that something is because you don't know what your sacral response is or how to ride out your emotional authority. So let's dive into those things first. Sacral center. So this was massive for me in my human design training. I'd been my own experiment for probably 3 years and I still had no clue how to connect with my sacral center. And I too was a yoga teacher. Before 2020, I was a yoga teacher. And here I am, like it was embarrassing to not feel like I knew what my sacral center felt like, but it's totally different in human design. Like we talk about it in yoga circles and we connect to the creativity and the sexual energy and all of that stuff, but we don't really, it's different in human design. So how I look at it now, or how I feel it in my body now, is as if my sacral center has like a rope tethered to me and it's just like guiding me around to the experiences, the people, the places that I should be at, which seems a little bit bizarre. because we try to think our way through life. But as a manifesting generator, you're really designed to respond to something that's already happening. And you said you feel like a really clear no, but not a really clear yes. So once you start to tone your sacral, and we're going to talk about how to do that today, but once you start to tone your sacral, you will feel that yes in your body. Do you know what sacral energy feels like if we're speaking of it in the yoga context, or
that creative energy, birthing new ideas, birthing? Yeah.
And so, you can feel the energy of it in your belly or below your belly, but that's what you'll feel like when you get a yes to something.
Okay.
Now your feeling in your belly may be different than my feeling in my belly, but it is actually something that you can feel as clearly as you can feel the no. You want to be able to feel the yes. So one of the ways that you tone your sacral center is by asking yes or no questions, having people ask you yes or no questions, and you asking yourself. It sounds ridiculous, but we seem to think that people want choice, right? So we'll say to them, do you want to do this or that? I do this with my grandkids all the time, even though they're manifesting generators. I have to stop myself and ask one thing at a time. So it's not, now these may not be foods that you would eat, I don't know, but it's not like, do you want to go to the pub or do you want to go out for pizza? It's, do you want to go to the pub? And then you let your sacral answer. You let your body answer that question. The sacral center is a motor, which is weird languaging, but human design has a lot of weird languaging. So it's a motor, and it's, think of a motor revving like, So it has a sound that is uh-huh or uh-uh. And this is the first thing that gets conditioned out of us because it's not polite. We're raised to be polite little girls that say, yes, please. And no, thank you. Instead of answering from our body. And you just answered from your body when you went, I find if I'm in a room full of generator types or manifesting generators or a Zoom room, we hear ourselves go, like we, when something's on, we have this guttural response. We don't even realize we're doing it. But once you can kind of train your sacral, so you'll ask yourself in the morning when you get up, do you want to have eggs for breakfast? Or do you want to have a bagel instead of, so I actually ask myself questions. It sounds ridiculous, but I ask myself yes or no questions. And as many people in your life as you can train to ask you yes or no questions, that's going to be so much easier for you because you automatically will start to answer from your body. And if you notice, like you can feel your eyes kind of go up in your head, you're in your head to answer the questions and you have a defined head in Ajna. So it's probably very easy for you to be in that thinking space, in that space of being confused and wanting to have the answers and asking all of the questions and needing to have all of the formulas and the frameworks worked out. All of that stuff is just natural for you, but it's getting into your body, into that sacral to hear that uh-huh or that that's drawing you towards something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think too, I was just reading something and the rushing woman syndrome. And I thought, yeah, most of the time it's like, got to do this, got to do that. Like you're go, 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 go. So you don't have that opportunity to go, yeah. And I feel so much better when I have that time. I give myself that space, that grace. But then I think too, as a manifesting generator, I also tend to put too many things on on my schedule.
There's no such thing as too many things for a manifesting generator. No such thing. Maybe with an undefined route there is. But yeah, for sure. And I'm betting that you work with other women to get in touch with their bodies and to slow down and to listen.
Oh, yeah.
For, yeah, totally, right? It's your specialty.
Well, yeah, I said that the other day and I said, just a disclaimer, sometimes what comes out of my mouth, I need to hear it as much as you guys need to hear it.
100%. Yes. That's always the way, right? We teach what we need to learn for sure. For sure. For yeah. Sure. So the waiting piece for you, talk to me about what we were talking about before, just so our listeners can kind of come in on it, if you're okay with that. If not, I just put you on the spot, but okay. you were talking about having a course and feeling like you have all these things on the go in your business. And now you're kind of over the course and it's like, did I get myself into something I shouldn't have gotten myself into? How does that play out in your life?
So I invested in a program to create an online course. And I think part of it, I'm experiencing imposter syndrome, but it's also sitting down and I've put the content in and now I'm writing the emails, the funnels. And, you know, I got an email saying, would you like to extend? And I'm thinking, I've just extended this. I just want to be done. Like, and then of course, and I'm impatient, you know, you've got to submit your ticket. And I'm like, well, nobody's answered my ticket, but you want me to give you another $1,500. And I'm feeling pressured and I'm not feeling like I've been supported in it. And then I'm like, but I want to do this and I want to do that. But it's like, no, I have to get this done because I invested in it. So that is just weighing on me. So I'm feeling panicky. And then of course, sitting down to write doesn't feel good. And I don't feel, I've designated this 2 hours. So I need to be very productive. And then if I'm not, I'm very frustrated because I'm like, I've just wasted all that time.
Okay. So this is where response is going to come into play huge for you. Okay. A couple of things. One, do you feel like you made the right decision in buying this course?
I think eventually I will, because will be that passive income. So I'm not physically having to generate, and it does support, because I've created this 10, 11 module course. And it's a course that I had already created and I had a group, whereas this would be online. So it will, once I get through it, I just want to be done.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to invite you to notice when you rewatch this, how you went into your head on that question. And that's what we do, especially as emotional authorities in human design. I'm one too, and we're of a certain age, you and I, mm-hmm. And we are designed to be emotional. We're designed to feel our way through life. But there was, for most of us being raised in the generation we were, yay to Gen Xers, there wasn't room for our emotions. For most of us, there wasn't room for our emotions. And this is really an area in human design that we get backwards. Someone who's undefined emotionally. So if your emotional solar plexus in your human design chart is white or not colored in, then you're undefined. You tend to be more dramatic. Whereas someone like you, Heather, me, we are defined emotionally and we're designed to be emotional, but we oftentimes aren't super duper in touch with, oh, I get to feel my way through this, because it feels unnatural to us until we retrain ourselves to get into it. So that's where connecting with your sacral comes in as well. Because when I said to you, do you feel like this was the right thing for you? Your head started to answer and you reasoned it out in your head, which is what we all do, right? It's how we've been taught mm-hmm. to be in life, is that we think our way through it. And you, with your defined head nausea, you want to think your way through it. But what I would invite you to do is to kind of get into your body and feel your way into this decision. We'll talk about that with your emotional solar plexus, how you can use that authority. Because this, and I mean, I've done it too. I bought an $1,800 course 4 years ago and I've never even logged in. And it sounds ridiculous, I'm sure, to somebody else. I'm sure that if you're a projector and you're listening to this episode, you're thinking, my God, what is wrong with these women? Like, it would just never happen in your world. But here we are. We're manifesting generators. And like, you're a 3-5. You have to learn through trial and error, right? There's no such thing mm-hmm. as errors, but you have to. But we're going to get to the point where we're done with it, where we have no patience left, where we wish we hadn't started the thing, unless we can be in continual response. So when you talk about, you know, I've blocked off these 2 hours and I have to create these emails. I think that's the worst thing for a manifesting generator to do. How I use time blocking, how I've learned to use time blocking, is to create, you know, this is a creativity space. This is a whatever block of time. And it's not a specific task that has to be done. And I've learned to get myself out mm-hmm. of the house so that I can be in response. Now, your environment in your human design is, I think it's mountains. Yeah. So if you can get yourself up anywhere where you can be elevated and looking out at things, that it sounds bizarre, but that's going to be a really good place for you to kind of see what you need to see, which will give you things to respond to. So it could be an upstairs office. It could be going for a hike at a higher elevation and looking out. It could be anywhere where, you know, a raised platform in a restaurant or a coffee shop, anything like that is going to give you just a little bit of a vantage point and to have things to respond to. Because for you to sit at your computer and try to create an email from zero is mm-hmm. like so painful, I would think.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't start from scratch. As a manifesting generator, you're not here to start from scratch. You're here to start from responding to something. So maybe you scroll online for 10 minutes and you see something that gives you something to respond to. Maybe it's a client conversation you've had. Maybe it's something that came up in a yoga class or a massage session, obviously without naming clients. But there's things yeah. happening all the time for you to respond to. And it's like when you feel that in your sacral, that, and it happened to me this morning where something, I was in a conversation with someone in DMs and I was like, oh my God, I have to write a post about that. And then I stopped myself because I'm like, well, I can't say it yet because this just happened, you know, and we do that all the time. Yes. I can't say it yet. So keep a content bank. I don't know if you like Trello or a note on your phone, whatever it is, but keep a content bank where when you're in response to things, you just keep a flowing list. And then when you go back to it, what I find is that I can re-respond to it, maybe. And then there's other things that you'll look at and you'll think, what the heck was I talking about there? That makes no sense to me now. And that's okay. It's just not for you. But just set up your life. Like the universe wants to conspire with you. Generators more than anything. The universe wants to conspire with us because we're meant to be in response. So set up your time where you actually are in response. Do you follow Julia Cameron at all? Do you know who Julia Cameron is? She wrote The Artist's Way.
No, I don't follow her. But okay. It's funny because I think someone, that name's been mentioned to me before.
Ah, there's the universe trying to get you to respond to something. Mm-hmm. And there's your sacral sound. Mm. It's fun once you get onto it. So Julia Cameron she's written, I think, 45 books or something, and she writes plays. She's a projector. But she talks about art estates. And I think that these are important for all of us. But if you can set up a few hours in your schedule every single week that where you can go out and be somewhere, and you're basically just putting yourself into the middle of something of life happening around you so that you can be in response, is really a beautiful thing before you try to create content.
And it's interesting that you say that, because the other day I was heading into my treatment day, and it's like when I respond to people and, you know, they've shared with me what's going on and I respond, wow, have you tried this? Well, would you consider this? And it's like, that's when I feel really good about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting when I can offer them suggestions or, you know, have you tried this? Would you consider this? This could work for you. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Well, and that's a huge part of who you're here to be. So you have that 4323 channel, and it's part of your incarnation cross. So your incarnation cross in human design is taken from the top four gates, two on the right and then the two on the left. And that is the plot line or the movie of your life. And your conscious son is in gate 23, which is all about assimilation. It's all about being able to put voice to your really, really unique insights. So you have, this is a 3-5 profile too. You have a really different way of looking at life and of having really unique insights. In human design, I hate the traditional human design name for this, but it's called genius to freak. And it's just such a really different way of looking at things. And this fifth line profile layers on that for you as well, is that you can see things that others don't see. You hold up the mirror and you show us what we need to see. So you're using that gift so much in your treatment rooms, it sounds like, and in these situations. And for you, it lights your sacral up. It lights your whole design up when you get the chance. There's a few places this lives in your design as well, but it lights you up when you get to share from that place of, here's what I see, because the insights that you have, in particular in your design, most of them are not necessarily for you. They're for you to be in service of others. So when people ask you, it's giving you something to respond to, but it's also giving you a beautiful way to share your gifts with a few of the channels in your design and as that fifth line profile. See, 3-5s are just such special people. It's so fun. Probably not always fun for you though. As a manifesting generator, there's a lot of shaming on us for doing too many things at once. And you've said it a couple times in our call here today that, you know, you have too many things on the go and all those things. And it is, I mean, people, yeah, I would say that's been the biggest thing I was shamed for in my life, is not sticking to one thing, especially in business. You know, how many places in business are you told you need one offer and one funnel and one pathway and one, and as a manifesting generator, all you want to do is push out the walls on that one offer that you have so that you can experience more of life, because you're going to find the most efficient way to do things. And in order for that to happen, you have to have a few things on the go. And some of the things that you're doing aren't necessarily going to be to make you money. They're going to be to use up the energy that you have and to help you to help the rest of the planet by finding the most efficient way to do it. It's just how you roll. So you have to have a lot of things on the go all the time. And it feels natural to you, but you've probably been really conditioned to believe that there's something unnatural about it, that there's something wrong with having too many things on the go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a third line, I mean, holy hell, third lines, like you have to learn by making mistakes. And I'm putting mistakes in air quotes here. there's no such thing as a mistake for a third line profile, but you're the people who run fast and break things. Like I said, with my granddaughter, 3-5, she's unhinged. I mean, she's almost 4. And it's like so beautiful to see her completely, like she just lives her life with reckless abandon. And that's how you're meant to be. But the conditioning is so strong to fit in, to toe the line, to keep yourself in the box, to, you know, whatever. And I think in content and in things we create, it's to look like we're perfect in our businesses. And as a third line profile, people need to see your shit. They need to see the stuff that you've done wrong. I'll put that in air quotes too. They need to see the lessons that you, because you're doing all of those things and getting egg on your face. As a Manny Jen, you're going to get egg on your face too, but so that you can bring it to your tribe, so that you can help other people to learn what they need to learn through your life experience. But it's not super comfortable because it's, you know, we've been led to hide those parts of ourselves for our whole lives. You know, I think we very much are the generation or one of the generations where it's like, well, what are people going to think? What are people going to think if I tell them that I, you know, did it this way or whatever? But that's your gift. One of your gifts.
Yeah. And also to how I work. And when you said that, I don't fit into that box. And, you know, there's people around me that it's like, I'm not working 9 to 5 anymore, but physically working 9 to 5 drains me way too much. And so like Saturday morning, I teach a class, but I love teaching that class. And it's not my whole weekend. It's 1 hour, but some people are like, or, you know, trying to make a dinner date with certain people. It's like, oh, no, I'm not available then. Like it just, my schedule isn't, you know, those teacher's hours or bank hours, and it's different. But, and you said it earlier, being in that one same environment doesn't serve me. So I need that variety. And as you're talking, and I've been like, you know, it all makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the entrepreneur life too, right? Like I find it is just such a different way of being. If you have friends who aren't entrepreneurs, if you're surrounded by entrepreneurs, it's like, we all get it because that's just how we roll. Like we have built a life, hopefully, if you're an entrepreneur, you've built a life and a business that are so intertwined that you can just fit your life into your business and your business into your life. It's just a beautiful way to live, but it's not what a lot of people do. It's definitely going to feed your manifesting generator need for response, your manifesting generator need for change. Like you just, sometimes we just need things to change. That third line profile needs things to change. You have gate 35 defined in your design, and it's all about adventure. It's all about doing the thing just for the sake of doing the thing. Ra, the founder of Human Design, he always said that it was the energy of all's well that ends. Not all's well that ends well, all's well that ends. Like, I just have to try it. And that's in your design in a few places. So yeah, you have to follow your own path. You have to. Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about that emotional solar plexus, because this is a big piece of the human design puzzle. This will help you a lot in business for you listening in. If you have the bottom triangle on the right-hand side of your chart colored in, then you are what we call an emotional authority in your human design. So this is going to be really beneficial for you. If you don't have your emotional center colored in, chances are someone that you love does, because half of the population has it undefined and half of it has it defined. So it's a really big piece of the human design puzzle. And for you, Heather, and for me, I'm emotionally defined as well. It takes sleeping on our decisions to a whole nother level. And it drives me crazy. This is like the part of my design that's made the biggest difference in my life, really starting to understand it. The part of my design that I got probably the most wrong for my whole life, and the part that I don't love. So you have the same thing I have in my design. You have like three distinct, I'm going to say voices, but it could be the feeling in your body. It could be anything. I'm just going to call them voices for ease here. So you have a defined spleen, and the spleen is an awareness center. It is the oldest awareness center in the body. And it speaks like lightning fast. It's that little voice inside that says, turn left here, or that girl needs help. Or, you know, you ask like, oh damn, where did I leave my keys? And all of a sudden it's just, boom, you get a hit that you know where they are. That's how your spleen speaks. It's really fast. And if you miss it, it's gone. You're not going to be able to get it back. That it's that like, oh gosh, what was that again? And it's never coming back. Your sacral center is stronger and it's longer lasting. I find in my body, you'll get to play with it in your body, but you can ask your sacral. So let's say you're going through this decision with this course, whether to extend or not, you can say to yourself, should I extend this? And you can have someone else ask you. It's really better if you can have someone else ask you, but if not, you can ask yourself, should I extend for this course? And maybe you don't know. Maybe you're like, I'm not sure. Is now the right time? Is there going to be a better time for this? So you just keep guiding your sacral through yes or no questions, and you can keep going back to your sacral for clarification, which is really great because over time, your gut feeling will get stronger and stronger and stronger. But then as an emotional authority, you got to wait. And it is a pain in the ass, if I do say so myself, because we're manifesting generators. We don't like to wait. We're not patient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So have you ever made a decision that, you know, you made the decision and within moments you regretted it?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because last night my husband said to me, and I shut down at 9 p.m. Like, don't ask me to make a decision. Like, just, I need my sleep. And finally at 54, it's like, I'm not fighting this anymore. You know, my Apple Watch says time to get ready for bed. And literally, like, just so I have a good sleep, like, I just function so much better. But anyways, he goes, well, what's your decision? I said, no, I'm not making a decision. I'm going to sleep on this and I will give you my decision in the morning. And it was so funny. Because I'm like, oh, geez, you know, that's ridiculous. But anyways, I stuck with that. And I said, right now, I'm just not in the frame of mind. I'm not making a decision. So when I woke up this morning and we were having our coffee and he's like, so what do you think? And I'm and like, we came to a conclusion and it was just like, oh, so I really did sleep on it.
Yeah. And does it feel good in your body now?
The decision it does. It feels really good. Like it and... You know, I was tired. And so, of course, I find that when I'm tired, I just go into negativity. Like I always speak to people about we need to, you know, raise our vibration. Well, if I'm tired, my vibration is in the toilet. And so I have to be very aware after I've treated people after a long day of work. I'm much more aware now to go, no, like this really isn't how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. It's just, I'm tired. And that just puts me in that spiral of, So it's like, no, I just need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Or I need to get in the bathtub or I need to just rejuvenate. And like yesterday I've just, my energy felt like in the toilet. It was like, no, I just need to go to bed. And my husband was like, really? And I'm like, really?
We're so lame. I'm the same way. Yeah. My husband stays up late and I'm like, yeah, I'm just lame. But then that's the thing about a defined emotional solar plexus. I mean, self-care is necessary for us all. But when you are feeling that low, you're already onto this. But when you start to feel that low in your wave, and it could go on for days, it may not be just a nighttime thing. It could go on for days. Your body, your psyche, your every part of your being is asking you for self-care. So sinking into self-care, it's not that we're resisting the wave. So how it works with a defined emotional solar plexus is that your emotions will come in waves. The wave that you have is a tribal wave, and that's most often going to be a slow climb up. And then there's going to be a moment of like anger or rage that's just like shoots through the roof and then you're done. And then very quickly you're over it and you can move on to the rest of your even keeled, semi even keeled emotional life. You have a lot of gates defined in your emotional center. Mine is like up high and then ratchet way down. It's like high highs and low lows. My whole life, I thought I had a hormone imbalance because of these high highs and low lows, but it's actually my defined emotional solar plexus. So I know when I'm starting to feel that, my husband can feel it now too. He's got an open emotional solar plexus, of course, as the universe would have it, but he can feel it too. And now I know the signs. So it's like, okay, I need to, for me, I'm a second line profile. So it's like, I got to get away from people for a little bit and I have to rest and I have to do whatever you said, have a bath, go to a bookstore, like whatever. Whatever it is that is self-care for you is what your emotional solar plexus is asking you to do. And it's not that you're not going to experience those waves, but they'll feel more usable to you. So the gift of your wave, there's a different gift in every wave, which is really weird because when you're coming out of that low space is when you'll be your most creative self. So that's when to really, if you start to feel yourself going into this wave, if you have this ragey anger spot where you're like, oh my God, that was my wave, then know that pretty shortly after is going to be a really great time for creation. So if you have to create something new in your business, or if you want to create something new in your business, use that energy there. But every wave has a different thing to teach us, which is really interesting. How it relates to decisions, though, is that there's no truth in the now, is what we say with a defined emotional solar plexus. So even though you have that splenic hit, the sacral hit, your emotional solar plexus wants you to wait. So that was great with that decision yesterday that you were able to sleep on it one night, and that's good. I've had decisions where I was booking a trip where, well, one decision where I booked a trip and I responded and I thought I was such a badass because I was in response to this and I booked the trip and it was the trip from hell. Like everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I knew it the minute, like the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh crap, I shouldn't have done that. But it was too late because I had already booked everything. So we always know we have that immediate decision regret, I think, with the defined emotional solar plexus. But when you ride it out, like another trip I booked this year, I took like 10 days to decide. And one day I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to book my flight. No, I better wait. Yeah, I'm going to book it. No, I better wait. And so it's just riding this uncertainty out. The bigger the decision, the longer you need to sit with it. So if it's a decision on, you know, extending a course, depending on how much money that is, that might take, you know, a week or so to roll through your emotional solar plexus. Whereas if it's a decision of, am I going to join a couple of friends for dinner on Friday night, that might be a one-day decision where you just need to kind of feel your way through it through the day. But the gift of it is you're feeling it. And I think that that's a lot of times with our emotional solar plexus defined, we think it. We're going to make the list of pros and cons. We're going to do all of these things, but it's like, I'm actually feeling it. You talked about journaling earlier as well. And I think journaling is a powerful, powerful tool with a defined emotional solar plexus because you get, well, for everybody, but you get to get it out of your body. And I think it's like processing these emotions, which is something that I don't think comes very naturally to us because we weren't raised to process emotions. So it's the work that we get to do. But that that emotional solar plexus, if you can, when you're making decisions in your business, whether it's to buy a course or a program, whether it's to make up an offer in your business, when you're creating an offer in your business, you want to be creating in response to your audience, in response to what's already happening. What do they need? What do they want? Just not what you think they need or want. And then you want to ride it out. You want to sit with it. Because as Manny Gens, we want to create all the things. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of modalities, right? So you can pull in mm-hmm. all of these modalities and create all these things that then you've worked on creating that maybe just sit in a vault somewhere on your website, not really selling. So if you can combine the sacral responding to something to create something and writing it out to see if it's right for you, and then messaging from your 3-5 profile and your manifesting generator and your gift for insight, all of those things, bringing that into your message will really help you to solidify your offer.
Awesome. And I most definitely need to listen to this again.
Is there something else that you feel like that we didn't cover that you want to check in with?
I think just that transition from more of that mentoring, coaching. And it's interesting, I've done a coaching program and then I'm like, do I need another coaching program? So obviously sit with that and mull it over. And yeah, just getting over that sort of fear of stepping into something new, that would be the biggest thing.
Are you talking about you coaching? Yeah, exactly. Yes. Are you coaching or okay. Yeah. And you already have a fairly significant audience because you've been doing all of these things for a while, I think, right?
Yeah.
So the fear, well, some of the fears in your design specifically, one of the things for you is you build trust really, really quickly with people. They trust you really, really quickly. You can break down people's defenses very quickly, which you probably need as a massage therapist, yoga teacher, all those things. You also have a really big aura as a manifesting generator. So you're always bringing people and experiences into your world. But it can be for you a little bit hard sometimes to remember that you're not responsible for everybody. And I think that in a coaching practice, that's really important because we feel responsible for our clients' results, right? If you have someone that comes to you, you feel completely responsible. And we're only responsible to the degree that we're providing what they need. And then, I mean, we all have to do our own work, right? Yeah. So that's going to be a little bit of maybe not a fear, but a little bit of an underlying rub for you. You have a lot of conditioning, I would guess. You have a lot of conditioning in your design around being rejected for principles or standing on a principle, and maybe it doesn't sit right with people, something like that. it's also how you can bring light to the darkness is through this real gift for being able to not only share your insights, but also share how like new principles and new values could change things for your community. But there's some conditioning there for you. And then one of the fears is like, I'm not going to find my purpose. Now, we all have that to a degree. Like, what if I never find my purpose? But for you, it's actually an embedded fear in one of the shadows of those gates is like, what if I never get it right? What if I miss something and I don't live out my purpose? So as we're transitioning into the coaching, one of the exercises that I love to do with my clients is get a piece of paper or a piece of Bristol board, or like if you're artsy craftsy, I wish I was artsy craftsy, but I'm not. But if you are and you can, okay. So for me, it's like a big piece of Bristol board with words on it. It's not fancy, but write out all of the things that you have done in your life that you're good at. So all of the certifications that you hold, all of the, you know, massage therapist, yoga teacher, special yoga that you do, retreat leading, like anything like that, all of the gifts that you bring to the table that you can possibly think of. I love for you to do this with the gates of your human design as well. And on my blog, you can find, I think, every single gate. And I mean, there's a lot of places online where you can find every single gate, but look at the highest expression of those gates. Look at the highest expression of being a manifesting generator. I have a great big enveloping aura. I'm here to speed things up for people. You're actually here to speed up linear time. I find the most efficient way to do things. I draw people in because I'm magnetic. All of these beautiful things in your design, your 3-5 profile, I'm a karmic mirror. I am an experiential learner. All of these beautiful things in your design. And I just like write everything out on this piece of Bristol board. And look at all of the gifts that you have, because then when you're looking at the gifts that you have, instead of sitting in your mind going, what if I don't get it right? What if nobody hires me? What if I'm doing too many things? How am I going to bring this, all of this stuff into a niche? When we were talking beforehand in email and you were wondering about, stepping more into the mind body space, from my perspective, I'm sitting here looking at it and I'm like, I thought that's what she did. Like you're already doing it in to everyone else, right? We're looking at you thinking you're already embodying this, but we resist because we think that we're going to confuse our audience, or we think that we have too many tools in the toolbox. And I mean, would you ever have a carpenter come to your house where you would think, my God, he has too many tools in his toolbox? No. Yeah, so you're going to bring all of your life experience, all of the gifts of your design and the rest of your life. You're going to bring it all to whatever it is that you do. So when you have that in front of you, you can really look at it and go, whoa, I have a lot to offer. I have a lot to offer. So then asking the universe, we know that when we ask things, our brain wants to find the answer. So maybe going to bed at night, the last thing you do is look at that beautiful sheet of paper with all your gifts, and then going to bed at night and saying, I wonder who's going to hire me to coach them tomorrow. I wonder how my coaching practice is going to come together. I wonder how I can use all of these gifts in my practice. How did it get so easy for me to build this coaching practice? So just asking questions like that, framing them for the universe, because as a generator type, the universe is going to conspire with you. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to have something to respond to that's like, oh my God, I have a coaching practice. Somebody wants to hire me. So we talk about deconditioning in human design, which is a fancy word for saying healing, in my opinion. So all of the healing modalities that you do, like when a fear comes up for you, do you have a process that you use or a tool that you use for yourself when a fear comes up to work through that fear?
Journaling it out usually, like just, yeah, sort of. And what I've adapted lately is approaching it with curiosity and kindness. Like, why is that there? And trying to be curious about it instead of just sort of stuffing it down, going, okay, what is this actually about? Why is this here? So that's something I've been trying to adapt for me. You know, I share that with people and it's like, well, interesting. I need to use that for me.
Yeah. So that will be a powerful practice for you as you step into this next variation of your business. Will be to actually, as the fears come up, as the doubts come up, to actually get curious around it and allow yourself to feel your way through it. Like what you just described is totally an emotional process of feeling your way through it, which is using your definition in your emotional solar plexus in your human design. And I think just understanding, you know, for you, for me, for our listeners, the niche conversation, niche, if you're in the US and listening, but the niche conversation is It's a tough one because the world, I think, well, obviously the world is changing. There's an understatement of the year, but the world is changing and there's such a drive for authenticity. And we are not one horse shows or one pony shows. Like we all, by the time you're in your 50s, if you haven't had a varied life experience that you can share, then I think you're not even living, really. So I think that people want us to share more of not only who we are, but more of what we can offer. They almost expect us to have more than one thing now. Not that it's about someone else, but I really see that falling by the wayside of you have to do this one thing. You're a massage therapist, or you're a yoga teacher, or you're a crystal healer, or you're a whatever it is. Like you bring all of those things every time you show up, and that's got to be okay. Especially for a manifesting generator, it's got to be okay. Do you know who Karen Curry Parker is?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked at her website?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
And you see more than one thing on her website?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a manifesting generator website. So I'm like, well, if Karen Curry Parker can get away with it, then so can I.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about where people can find you. If they want to find out more about Heather, what's your business? Where do they get in touch with you?
Instagram, Heather Reeves Yoga, and my website, Heather Reeves Yoga. So yeah, just click in Heather Reeves Yoga on Instagram and actually on YouTube. I have some guided meditations and some yoga practices that you can try and see if that resonates with you.
Beautiful. I love it when it's so simple and it's just your name. So, so simple. And I will be looking up those yoga classes and meditations. So thank you for that. We'll have all of that linked in the show notes for you that you'll be able to easily click on and find Heather. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.